Well, Poppy, what do you think? Let's get you. Now, I'll just say that it's really lovely to have you all with me today because it's afternoon time. It's 4:15 in the afternoon, but the weather is just wonderful. All of the greyness has cleared. There's a lot of blue sky. The sun is really quite warm. And the whole day's just got a different atmosphere from how it's been over the last couple of weeks. And the other very strange thing is there's no wind. So I thought we would just pop out with Poppy and have a little stroll and a catch up. Did I say there was no wind? The moment I get into the lane here, the wind springs up. Have a listen. So those are some little wind chimes that somebody's got in their garden. And I've got to say they can make a really lovely little sound. Not so good if the wind's too strong, but as I said, today is really quite good. And so they're just making that very delicate little chiming sound. The thing which has changed dramatically, even though the weather's been really bad, is the fact that I can't believe this. There I was saying there was no wind, and suddenly this gust has sprung up. So I don't know whether the microphone's picking it up, probably isn't actually, but this blustery, gusty wind has suddenly appeared out of nowhere. It's all a bit strange. But yeah, the big thing is that the leaves have suddenly started appearing on everything. So the trees you look at, some of them, well, it used to be the ash trees that would come into leaf very early. But you look at the trees and there's this lovely green glow. And it's the new leaves beginning to open. It's really lovely to see. Lots of birds. I think the birdies are happy that they've got some warmth and sunshine, and there's been quite a few of them hopping around. They're obviously starting to get interested in nest building. Here's the local river. I'm stood on one of the little wooden bridges and I'm looking at the water flowing downstream. And of course, because it's been raining, the water's quite high, so it's quite turbulent. And so the little bits of turbulence catch the light. So I'm looking at this very sparkly. It's really pretty, actually. And you see all the whirlpools and the currents and the eddies as the water is heading away from me. And then after about 50 yards, there's quite a little a change in the gradient of the river, and it's going over a lot of rocks, so that's mini white water. But it's just lovely to see it. I thought I'd take you with me. I'm probably very keen to get out today, and you've all been talking to me, it's usually comments that are coming in from YouTube, but I have also had quite a few emails coming in to me direct, and they've been really nice, actually. We seem to have settled the the dispute over walking the dog audio and walking the dog video. And it's really nice that we've decided how we're going to do that. We're going to stay audio. So yeah, the key bit is that we're going to stay audio, but I have paid attention to what people have said. And there is a view that a little bit of video, well, photographic stimulus is needed to help things along. So I'm going to see what I can do on this one, and maybe what I do will mean that everybody is happy, if that's ever possible. So you can tell it's sunny, because what have we got? We've got a few people out clearly keen to cut their grass. And this is a good thing. I managed to do mine a few days ago, so I don't need to be rushing out to do it. I'll just pause for a bit. We've got a big family group coming past, which is great. Hello, hi.
Come on, you can make it.
Come on.
You see that red leaf?
So this is one of the nice things about where I live, is that because of all these walks, people come out with their children, and I just love it when you see families and children of all ages, including teenagers, who come out with their mums and dads and family, and they all look just normal. They're doing normal things, and I love it. So I've got the river on my left, and the first thing I'm noticing is, yep, the primroses are really doing well. I've talked about those before, but these are all ones along the riverbank, and it's just great to see them out. And it's looking nice. It's looking spring-like. We've also got some bluebells, not too many here, but enough to notice. And a few dandelions, some other little yellow flowers. I'm not sure what those are, so I'll just say they look pretty. And the ground is firming up a bit because the sun's been on it already, so that's nice. And I thought we'd just take a little mosey up the river, which I haven't done with you before. And this is a nice route because the path is very much a little tiny country path, and it's right along the riverbank, so you get the advantage. You can have a good look at the water. And I hope you can hear it flowing in the background, because that's one of the things that I always find very therapeutic when I come out. It's just that lovely sound of the water. And you've got dappled shade from the leaves onto the water. As I say, if you look downstream, it's just all sparkling in the sunshine. The other bit that I've mentioned to you is about wild garlic season. And that's upon us, so there's now a lot of the wild garlic, the white flowers that are out. And some of the buds are still to come out, but there's quite a lot of flower heads open. And this is very pretty. And the other thing that happens is that the wild garlic, it defines the edges of the path. So you get used to walking this path, which is, you know, sometimes it's a narrow path and sometimes it's sort of a bit open. And then all of a sudden, either side of you is this well-defined edge to the path, which is just a sea of green and the white flowers of the garlic. And it's very pretty. I'm walking opposite the what used to be the old mill here, and they're beautiful buildings, and they were very well restored some years ago and made into the mill building, and the adjacent buildings were made into private dwellings. And I have to say they've done a very sympathetic job, because the stonework of the buildings is just beautiful. I would guess it's been repointed in lime mortar, because it's all very light and bright, and you've got these wonderful stones visible. And they're lots of different colours, actually. When the sun's on them, you almost get... you get the normal buff-coloured or greyish-coloured stones, but you also get ones that have almost got a pinkish and a bluey tinge into them. So when you look at the wall, it's not a sort of dull stone wall. It's really bright, and I like it a lot. And the other thing they have done is that the windows and doors for these buildings, I think, are all very sympathetic. You know, they fit in really well. And not all of them, but quite a few of the people are using some of these very nice paints, which are supposed to be sort of mimicking, what would I say, Victorian colours. So they're pastel colours. And there's one of the greens that's being used that I like a lot. It's just a nice soft colour. They had to do a bit of work some years ago when we had a particularly bad flood of the river. So part of the riverbank's been built up to protect the old mill. But they've still got a nice piece of grass in front of them, and it all looks very good. Poppy would like me to tell you that this is actually her favourite walk. If ever we get to a point where there's a sort of choice as to where we can go, she always wants to come down and do this upriver walk. And I think it's because the path is interesting, and we get into another little woody bit in a minute. But she just likes going along the bare earth path, and there's lots of places for a dog to get their doggy snout into. And she's bouncing along, and her tail is clearly showing that she's having a good time. So that's great. And maybe the other bit I should tell you while I'm here is that the river's narrowed here, so... how was it, 20 feet across, maybe something like that. But what you can actually see, it's not perfect, because there's sections that have now fallen into the river, but originally they'd walled either side of the river to speed up the flow, to get the speed and the volume flowing into the mill pond, to help the performance of the mill. And I often think about just the amount of labour that went into getting those stone walls either side of the river. I would guess a lot of the local labourers employed pretty hard, wet work to build those up, and that would have just shown you the value placed on the local mill. And of course that was absolutely the time when a mill was such an important asset, because all of the grains were ground locally, and the mill owner would be pretty important and well respected, and probably quite a wealthy person. So you can hear it really flowing here, and it's interesting that the stonework is in place either side at this particular point, although it's all covered with this very thick moss, that's the word I'm looking for, And actually, across that section of the river, there's a lot of logs now jammed. So there's one that is almost at right angles to the river, and there's a couple of other very big ones that are wedged against it. And then on the far bank, there's a great huge bundle, you know, maybe 12 foot long and 7 or 8 foot wide, of various sizes of sticks that have come downstream in the, I'll call it the flood waters, because the river rises very quickly if there's been a lot of rain in parts of South Devon for the catchment area. And watch your head here, because we're having to duck under a particularly big oak tree that decided it was old enough to fail, and in one of the storms it was blown over. A pretty massive tree, but as you come along the path you've got to keep your head down to get under the trunk and the big branches, which are now sort of impaled into the ground. You've also got to watch where you're walking here, because there's a lot of tree roots come to the surface. So if there's any of you that are a bit wobbly on your feet, you'll need to take care. And I like this bit of the river as well. It's coming around a bend, quite a gentle bend, and it's widening out a bit. But on the other side, it's technically floodplain. I don't know whether they ever used to keep animals over that side of the river, but now it tends to get overgrown. All of the undergrowth comes up and various trees and bushes and grasses start growing up, and they leave it for so long and then they'll come in and cut it all down again. But it's, I don't know why, it's just an area that I've always thought is very nice. And then on my right, we've got a small woodland. This also floods if the river's high. But interestingly, there's the remains of old stone walls, now pretty much overgrown, but you still sort of see them emerge from bits of bank and part of the path. So I don't know whether in times gone by animals used to be kept in here, or whether this was a bit more of the, I've talked about this before, the areas where they use it as a sort of nursery for pheasants. Maybe I should do my research about that. But yeah, who knows? So we'll just stand for a minute, I think. I wonder how long we can do that for. We just stand and we're quiet and we can see what birds we can hear and what other noises. Well, I don't know whether it's working for you, but it works for me that when I come out and I just switch off, just enjoy a walk with the dog, and I listen to all these sounds of the water and the birds and the wind, if it's strong enough to make a noise in the trees. This is all part of my therapy. And it's a means of unwinding from all this nonsense that's going on around us. And it's part of the UK Column Sanity Project. Yeah, brilliant. But I mean it, and I'd encourage other people to do it, because I'm going to say I've been in this wonderful game for long enough to know that there are a lot of people that get drawn into the research, and they're watching a lot of videos and they're reading a lot of dark material that will whatever they're coming across is very negative. And some of them I've had to say to, you know, just watch it, because it draws you into a very bad place. And if you feel you have to do the research you're doing, one, don't do it at night. Don't do it late at night, because that's especially bad. But also make sure you do other things to chill out. Whatever it is, I think a bit of exercise and fresh air is important. But there was another lady I was talking to the other night, and maybe she was feeling a little bit anxious about some stuff. And I said to her, the last time we spoke, I encouraged you to play your flute. Did you do it? And it went quiet, of course. And then she said, well, no, I didn't. And I said, well, I think you should, because I think it would, you'd find it very relaxing. And when you're concentrating on playing a musical instrument, or you're just enjoying the sound you're making, I suspect her flute sounds a lot nicer than my violin. You're relaxing and you're chilling out your brain. And so I encouraged her to do it. So that's something else that I think, it's just my opinion, but I've got a feeling that, excuse me, for the people who play musical instruments, this is a very important thing to do, and it's very good for them. Oh, wow. That, two mallard ducks with all the colours in the sunshine, and they've just flown, you know, only about 15 feet away from me. They've flown down the river, cruising at about 3 feet above the water. Just a really spectacular sight. It's lovely. I've seen ducks on the river, paddling upriver or downriver, but I haven't seen any flying down like that for a while, which is, yeah, just beautiful. So there we are. We made the effort to come out for the dog walk, and we get rewarded by a beautiful sight of those birds. It's lovely. The other little bit about this area is that it's the undergrowth is really interesting. Because there's a lot of really beautiful ferns. Presumably this is because it's shady and also quite moist. But they come out of the ground and they have their spectacular leaves. And what do they give it? The word primeval comes into my mind, but I don't want to use that word because I never think it's very nice. But you see the ferns and it just changes the sort of nature of the undergrowth. So they're really interesting to see. And I think we're just going to cut through this way, as I'm actually stepping over some of the original stone walling of the river, because you can see it here as well. But this is a lovely little piece. It's like a beach, if I describe it like a beach. The river does an S bend. So I'm stood now looking to the, I suppose the southwest it would be, and the river's flowing downstream, and it's just all this beautiful white light sparkling, and we've got some really quite big leaves on the tree, the boughs of the trees that are overhanging the river. But then there's a space where it's almost like a brown sandy beach. And there's another little stream that is flowing down now to join the river. That stream will dry up if the weather ever dries up. But this is just a brilliant place to just sit and be quiet and have a look at everything around, including up in the trees, because there's some amazing shapes. These trees, I think they're lime trees. There's some oaks, but I think some of them are lime. And there's just these tiny little leaf buds forming. So obviously they start to come into leaf a little bit later than some of the other trees, but it's just, you know, very nice to see them. Poppy wasn't impressed there. I hope you picked that up, because once you're on a walk with Poppy, the idea is that you walk, and she can tell you off pretty quickly if you decide to stop for too long admiring the view or talking to somebody. Isn't that another good thing about dogs, is that if you're going to go out for exercise, they're going to make sure that you keep walking. Wow, this is so pretty. We're now into a white carpet of all these flowers, and it's a mixture of the white flowers of the garlic. And if you don't know what a garlic flower looks like, it's it comes up into a head that opens into a number of different flowers. So you get a mixture of these little white flowers and little white buds. And it's quite a spectacular sight here, particularly as there's a lot of bluebells amongst them, which is all great. It was very nice that I've had some interesting emails from people talking about the fact that they've enjoyed the walk because they can't get out. So there was one lady who said, I'm just not fit enough to get out, so coming out with you and Poppy is really nice. There's another lady who says she's in the depths of Istanbul. So she's in the middle of a pretty busy metropolitan area. And then there was another lady in UK who said that, I think it was her, said she'd been walking the dog while listening to me walking the dog, which I thought was really nice. And I'm just going to come over here. Yeah, I get a lot out of the fact that I can do this and walk the dog, and it gives other people enjoyment. Maybe also encourages them to get out. So wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining me today. It's been, as always, really nice to have you on board. And we're just cutting away from the river now into one of the fields. And then we're going to join what I know as a green lane. It's one of the pathways that wind their way between the fields. You can find these all over England. But basically, this is where they used to take the animals to move them from one location to another, so they didn't have to take the animals on the actual main roads or the backcountry lanes. They could take them in these sort of pathways for animals, and I've always known them as the Green Lanes. I think there's some really good books that talk about these pathways across the country. And this one brings you up over another little wooden bridge. And you can hear the stream, which is below me. And we get a lovely look back into the field, which is well cropped because it's had cattle in there for a while, and they've certainly trimmed it down. And it's all glowing in the sunshine. It's brilliant. So if I repeat a few things, you'll have to bear with me, because I can't remember episode by episode what I talk about, but hopefully I'm not covering too much stuff that I mentioned before. a few of you got into the debate and responded to me about whether I was allowed to talk about other things while I was walking. And I think the consensus was that people were very happy with a little bit on the basis that they wanted to know what was in my head, but maybe not too much that it sort of spoilt the ambience of the walk. And I think this is a pretty fair thing, because I didn't want to make these walks too heavy. I wanted to make them sort of enjoyable. So I'm happy to go with the flow on this, and I'm happy to share a few things. And today I came out, one, because I looked out the window and saw that it was so lovely and sunny, but also because of the time. It was about time for Poppy's afternoon walk. But I'd also been talking to a lady doing an audio interview for Gutsy Women, and I'm not sure which will be out first, probably this, so I won't reveal too much, because I'm going to encourage you to listen in to me talking to this lady. But what we were discussing was the white rose, and if that doesn't mean anything to you, it's meant a lot to me for a great number of years, because when I started to absolutely see that something was wrong in this country and there was something politically oppressive that was coming into place, of course in the early days we looked to the European Union for a lot of the policy, and I think that was correct and is still correct. But we've seen other onerous policy since then. And I'll tell you what, Poppy, let's give this a try. She's keen to get back into the fields, but I think I might have mentioned on one of the walks that they lock the gates sometimes and then you're sort of trapped in a field, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, so if we go back to the UK column days in about 2008, well, we published the article in February, but I'd been looking at, I'd come across by chance the story of some young people, early 20s, 21, 25, who made an effort to fight the Nazi regime in Germany. And they did it by leafleting. And they were very brave youngsters. The two main ones were brother and sister. I'm not going to give you too much, because I'm going to encourage you to listen to the Gutsy Women interview, where a particular lady is talking about this as well. But they went out leafleting, protesting about the Nazi German government and what was happening. And I think it was the brother of this lady had been out on, I think he was a medical, he was army, he was Wehrmacht, but he was army, he was medical. And he'd been out on the Eastern Front and he'd seen the carnage. And so they leafleted in protest at what the government in Germany was doing. And to cut a long and beautiful but tragic story short, they ultimately got caught leafleting and it cost them their lives. And oh my goodness, Poppy the old dog has suddenly accelerated. I don't think she's going to win this one, because there's a pheasant that has decided to do a runner instead of flying. And unfortunately, poor old Poppy is not going to make it. She enjoyed the chase, but the pheasant, Mrs. Pheasant, is going to survive to another day. But I know what this means, that come 8 o'clock tonight, Poppy's going to be a bit crock and stiff-legged, because sprinting is not really the thing for her at the age she is. But it was good to watch. So just to finish the little story, a very poignant story about young people who formed a resistance in Nazi Germany. And the UK column picked up on it at that time. But unbeknown to me, there were other people who more recently looked at it, and they were so inspired that they decided that the resistance needed to be reformed. It's a really lovely story, the two things. So I had a lovely conversation, and I think the UK column audience, you guys will enjoy it. And what a coincidence that something that I saw and inspired me back in 2008 suddenly comes to the fore again in 2024. I think what I'd say is that it's one of the most encouraging things, because it shows you that although we can sometimes think that nothing's happening out there, I think more and more people are not only seeing things, they're starting to do things to challenge what's going on. And this is a really good thing. And my last comment on it is, just doing something, however small, can make you feel so much better. You're not just watching this clown horror story come in and thinking, yeah, is there no way of stopping it? If you do something, especially with a few friends, you'd be amazed at what starts to happen. So there we are. You'll have to wait for that Gutsy Women episode. And I think she absolutely was a gutsy woman, because she's another one of these individuals that just decided to, on her own, to get up and do something. And I always find that very inspiring. Now, where are we? Oh my goodness, I didn't notice that little boy. I think we head down this way, Poppy. So we came over the stile into this pretty... Oh no, they're all here. Okay, that's all right. Into this field. And initially it looked empty. But as I started to head in one direction, I noticed what I thought was a solitary animal, which would have been the bull, in the far top right-hand corner of the field. But then actually, when I looked closer, the herd is up there, so I think they're just cows. Yes, so we're okay. I've never had any problems with them, but sometimes you've got to watch cows if you've got a dog with you, because they can get a bit uppity. And so we have the guidance by the stile, which says keep your dog on a lead. But actually, if you walk through fields of cows, you have to be prepared to let your dog off if the cows get uppity. So there we are, that's a bit of my local knowledge. No doubt I shall get a stream of complaints from farmers telling me I'm wrong, but I've experienced this myself. And the other bit now is because I've sort of done a loop round and I'm heading down river, but I'm some way away from the river. But between where I'm standing and the river itself, a couple of really lovely fields. And there's the remains of small fruit trees. And I know from speaking to people many years ago, who were a lot older than I was at the time, that these two fields were absolutely packed orchards in their day. And because of the river and the fact that sort of early in the season it could flood, water was in brilliant supply, and therefore the fruit was particularly good. And certainly apples were the main part of that that crop, but I think there were other fruits as well, plums, etc. And of course the village had its own cider press in a building quite central in the village, and if you read some of the historical documents, they were taking those apples and celebrating in the autumn with their own pressed apples and cider creation. And I find it just a lovely story, the people working on the land and all the fruits were there for them. And then they got the reward of it. Fertile land, people working the land, and that land looked after them. And it's in stark contrast to the madness of the rewilding program that's going on at the moment. And it is madness, but it's calculated. And I really do hope that our farmers in UK start to wake up a bit faster and become a bit more active. Well, those birds are going for it. Is that because they can see me? I wonder. They get a bit fretful, particularly the blackbirds, if you come along. Yeah, we need... I think we need to see UK farmers getting a bit more oomph in them, in line with their French and Dutch colleagues. Because all the video that I've seen online shows that there's some real passion started to be unleashed by the Dutch and the French in particular. Maybe we're always... Here, Poppy, Poppy. Come here. Poppy. No, Poppy, Poppy, Poppy. All right, go on, go on. See, that's a classic, isn't it? Because I talked about Poppy's favourite walk, and I just come to a little bit there where I can walk her along the pavement for a few hundred yards. And I do it now and again because otherwise Poppy tends to walk on soft ground, and if you do a bit more pavement, you can, as the dog owners will know, you can keep their nails, claws a bit shorter. But Poppy didn't want to go that way. She wanted to come back by the river. She's normally incredibly obedient, but I think I was I was on a loser then. So we'll come back this way. If you're wondering what else is in store on the walking the dog, I've been thinking about this. One of my thoughts was upping the frequency. It wasn't my intention to leave it so long before getting this one out, but I don't know what it was. There was something sort of stopping me. So I thought it might be fun to do them a bit more often, which makes it easier to connect up some of the commentary on what's happening. And the other thing is, but this is only if you're really well behaved, and that is that I thought we might be able to walk together in some other locations, which would be good, and Poppy would enjoy that. Some of those I'll do locally, so they'll just, you know, literally be walks out the front door, out the house. And some of them I might decide just to pop in the car and go a little bit of distance, and we can see a new vista, and we can experience a bit more of delightful Devon. I think this would be good, because really I couldn't leave listeners without experiencing the fact that, of course, we're pretty close to the sea, and there are some really fantastic walks, not only on beaches but along the cliffs. So I think we might share some of those. And yes, I will consider what we might do with some images. I'm not promising video. I'm going to be ruthless and cruel on this, but we might manage some sympathetic images to help the people with visual special needs to enjoy what we're doing. And then I have a couple more ideas up my sleeve as to how we will assist the content of walking the dog. Will you do your bit, and that is give me feedback? I love the comments. I like hearing about where you are and what you do, and it's really great when people are telling me stories about their own dogs, because this is a nice thing that people are so connected with their animals, with their doggies. So it's great to hear about your dogs and how many you've had and their personalities. And what I thought is that in some of the future walks together, we'll share some of these stories. I won't give out any actual names. I'll only talk about the content to protect people who need to be protected. But I think that could be quite enjoyable. And if you mention where you are in the country, however accurately as you want to, we might be able to get a few of you connected up, because this has certainly happened over the years with people who have got in contact with a column or been in the UK column chat box or gone to some of our events. Here, Bobby. And they then learn that there's other UK column people close to them, and then a friendship forms, and also they're saying that it's so nice, you know, to know there's other people who are awake around them. And here we are, just heading back to the little bit of road, so that's very good. All right, well look, I think I'm going to end it here today. It's been lovely. I've really enjoyed the walk. The fresh air's been brilliant. Maybe we've got some sunshine and spring firmly on the way. Maybe not. But Poppy will need to go out, and I shall be happy to take you with me. So please join us for the next one. See you then. Okay. Bye-bye.